What a wonderful night it's been so far. Now we're going to hear from God's Word. So if you have your Bible with you or in the pew, there's a ESV Bible there. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 1. And I'm going to read from verse 17 and then down to the end of the chapter. And then we'll have some brief time in God's Word. So Matthew chapter 1 and verse 17, you'll notice verse 17 is a summary of the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we begin in verse 17 of Matthew 1 with the following. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as she considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Let me pray once more, and then we'll spend a brief amount of time, and I say brief with all honesty, from this passage. So let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us as we look at this wonderful passage and look at our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we think of all that we've heard through the memory verses that the children of our church proclaimed to us, and we think of all the wonderful hymns we've sung. We pray that all would point us to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask that you'd help us now by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I titled this little homily, you could call it that, a children's talk. So it's geared to the children, but it's also beneficial to every single one of us here this evening. And we heard a lot of different names this evening used to describe our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you were to scan the whole Bible, there's roughly 100 different titles that our Savior is given. And it all describes his person and his work and all that he's come to do. But this evening, I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to see three important titles that our Savior, who came down from heaven to this earth, I want you to see the three important titles that he's given. But before you do that, you may have noticed I skipped that whole large section of Matthew chapter 1, verse 2, all the way down to verse 16. And boys and girls, if you have your Bibles next to you or with your parents, you may notice there's a few names in here that your friends have. And as I was preparing this study, I thought, well, there's a lot of children in here that actually have the same names as those in the genealogy of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So there's Abraham. Now, we have Abram. But Abram was once called Abram, and then he was called Abraham. You notice in Matthew 1, verse 2, Abraham was the father of Isaac. We have a few Isaacs in the church. Verse 5, there's also Boaz. Verse 6, there's Jesse. And then again in verse 6, there's David. Now, what we see in the Bible is that various names have specific meaning to it. For example, in Genesis 17, verse 5, the Lord came to Abram and said, your name shall now be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. So Abram's name was changed to Abraham for a specific purpose, because God came to him by grace and gave him this promise. So we see throughout the Bible, boys and girls, that names, they have a specific meaning, often tied to promises and different works that God has called a man or a woman to. But all these names, as we scan through the Gospel of Matthew, they all pale in comparison to the most wonderful name. And who is that? The most wonderful name is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 1, we see that Christmas, in the time where we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, that is such a special time because it's such a special, he's such a special Savior. And I want us to briefly look at the three names that our Savior is given in Matthew chapter 1. And I'll make it very easy. You could think of three letters from the alphabet. There's C for Christ, there's J for Jesus, and then there's I for Emmanuel. And I hope every time you come across those letters, it'll draw your attention to the Savior. When you come across the letter C, I hope you think of Christ. I hope you think of Jesus when you hear the letter J, and Emmanuel with the letter I. Now, if you look in your Bibles, Matthew 1, verse 18, I want you to see our Savior, the first title, C for Christ. Notice Matthew 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Now, we see Jesus. It says Jesus the Christ, Jesus Christ, and that's not his last name, but Christ tells us something about who Jesus is. And that word Christ, when you see that C for Christ, what it means is that he's the Messiah. And when we hear of that word Christ and Messiah, that has a whole picture of the Old Testament where God promised to his people this Messiah who would come and deliver his people from the greatest trouble that faces them. Their sin against God, the wrath that they deserve because of their sin. This Messiah will come and save his people from their sins. Now, we see here then in Matthew chapter 1, Jesus is known as the Messiah. The Messiah has come. That's why Christmas is good news, because the long-awaited promised one who would save his people from their sins, he's arrived, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, I want you to think of the word Messiah for a moment. It's helpful to think of it this way. You could think of it as a mediator. Now, imagine you have yourself and you have another friend and you're at odds. You've offended each other and you need someone to restore that relationship with you and your friend. And so this mediator is one who comes in between both parties and brings them back together. Well, that's really what the Messiah came to do. He came to bring back sinners to the God in which they offended and to bring back this restored relationship. Now you say, well, where do you get that in the Bible? Well, if you have your Bibles open, I want you to look at one text, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. I want you to see how Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is described here. He's the mediator between sinful man and holy God. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. And notice the exclusivity. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You see that name there, Christ, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus. And notice what he did in verse 6. He gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. So Paul says, if we want to have a right relationship with the God that we sinned against and offended, we need a mediator. We need a Messiah who comes in between sinful man and holy God and brings us back to God. And when we realize the weight of that, a mere man can't do that. we can't have someone in this congregation come up and stand before yourself and God and bring you back to God. No, we need someone who is both God and man in the same person to save us from our sins. One who can bear the infinite wrath of sin that we deserve, and one who can live the life that we could never live. So that's why Paul says there's only one God and there's only one mediator to God. It's the God-man, the one who came down from heaven and clothed himself in humanity, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can bring us back to God. And we heard in John 14, verse 6, by Thomas, I believe, reciting that, Jesus said that he is the way and the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through him. So Jesus is the Christ. When you think of the words, the C letter, children, think of your Savior, Christ. Number two, I want you to think of the letter J. J for Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. Notice back in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 20 to 21, the text goes on to tell us more about this wonderful Savior. Matthew 1 verse 20, but as he considered these things, as Joseph did, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And notice verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. So there's another title for our Savior. Not only is he the Christ, the Messiah, the mediator between sinful man and God, but he's also the Savior. Jesus means Savior. Literally, you look there in verse 21, and we see that his name is to be called Jesus, and the reason for that is found with that word for this reason, because he will save his people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus literally means in the Hebrew. It means the Lord saves. The Lord redeems his people from their sins. So this Messiah has come on a mission. He didn't just enter the world and try and figure something out and see what his options were and see what would work out to the best degree. But no, Jesus came with a single focus. It says to save his people from their sins. And that's the greatest danger of every single one of us here. We need to be saved from our sins, from the consequence of our rebellion against God. And that's what Jesus came to save us from. That's why it's good news at Christmas, because we don't deserve to be saved from our sins and from the consequences of our sin. But Jesus, out of his mere mercy mission, he came down from heaven for that purpose, to save you from the greatest possible danger. Think of it. There's a lot of dangerous things in this world, but they pale in comparison to eternal wrath that we all deserve for our sins. That's what Jesus came to do, to pay this infinite penalty that we could never pay. And he satisfied divine justice that we could never satisfy on our own. So that's the second name, J for Jesus, the Savior. Now notice in your Bibles again, Matthew 1 verse 22 to 23 goes on and tells us one more name of our Savior, Emmanuel. Verse 22, notice, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Notice this prophecy. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Which means, we have the definition right there of what Emmanuel means. God with us. Well, that's good news then. We have Jesus who is the Christ, the Messiah. We have Jesus who is the Savior. Now we have Jesus who is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And really this summarizes how Jesus can save every single one of us from our sins. How can it be? Well, the mediator we need, the one who came from the courts of heaven, He's arrived, Matthew 1. God is with us. God has clothed himself in humanity in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2 verse 9 says, "For in him, in Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." Now I want you to look at one text to back that up. Look with me in Philippians 2. We see the humility of our Lord as he came down from heaven and became Emmanuel, God with us. Philippians chapter 2. I want you to notice this wonderful passage. Philippians 2 verse 5. Notice this is what we celebrate at Christmas. Philippians 2 verse 5. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." And here it is. "Who though he was in the form of God..." He's God, the second person of the Trinity. "He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." But here's what he did in the incarnation, verse 7. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Well, that's really the great summation of God with us. This is what God has done. He humbled himself to be a servant, not to come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom, a down payment for our sin. And Charles Wesley, he summarizes it so well in Hark the Herald Angels Sing. He says, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see." So we see God in the flesh in Jesus Christ. "Hail the incarnate deity." Hail God in the flesh. "Pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel." Now, boys and girls, those are three letters I want you to always think about when you hear them. And I want your mind to go to the Savior. Let me refresh you. C for Christ the Messiah. J for Jesus the Savior. And I for Emmanuel, God with us. Now, as we just wrap things up here, you say, well, how did Jesus really do all that? How did God save his people from their sins? Well, it would be a whole miss to just focus on the cradle and forget the cross. Because if you miss the cross, the cradle makes no sense. Christ came in the cradle, in the manger, because he had his eye fixed on the cross. And so at Christmas time, we celebrate the cradle and the manger scene, but our eyes must always go to the cross where Jesus Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 said, "For he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." What does that mean? It means that he bore our sins on the cross as if it was our own, though committing no sin. It means that he bore the judgment on the cross that we deserve as if it was his own, though incurring no judgment upon himself. He was sinless, but he bore our sin and he bore our judgment. He paid it in full. And one way we know that that was paid for was at the resurrection. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. So what does this mean then for us in light of these three titles of our Lord, and in light of all that he's done to save us from our sin, his cross work, his resurrection? Two things I want all of us to take away from this evening. Two truths. So what? So what? Number one, I want you to think of Jesus as the most welcoming friend. Now, this is a call for every single one of us. Two texts. If you look at Matthew chapter 19, boys and girls, it's never too young to come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners of every age. I want you to see Jesus as the most welcoming friend for all ages. Matthew 19, and I want you to notice with me in verse 13 to verse 15. Matthew 19 and verse 13. Look at our Lord Jesus here. He's welcoming everyone of every age to come to him and receive life. Notice Matthew 19, verse 13. Then children were brought to him that he may lay his hand on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked the people. But Jesus said, and this is the Savior who came down from heaven to save sinners of every age. Notice what he says. Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and went away. So boys and girls, your application is come to Jesus. He has his arms wide open. He says, children, come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll save you at a young age. I'll wipe your sins away. That's the most glorious testimony, to one day stand before the church and say that there's not a day that I can think of where I didn't love Christ as my Savior. So boys and girls, Jesus is a welcoming friend. And adults here this evening, Jesus Christ can save you right now at this moment as well. If you haven't come to him, he says, whoever comes to me, I'll never cast out. So if you find yourself here this evening, don't just think, well, it's just Jesus Christ saying to the children to come to me. No, he says to everyone, whoever you are, a child or an adult, come to me and I'll give you rest. I'll set you free from sin and death. And then the second truth, not only is he a welcoming friend, welcoming all sinners to life and the forgiveness of sins, but he's also the unchanging friend. Now, one last text, if you look in Proverbs chapter 18, I want you to see the most welcoming friend. It's pointing us to our Savior. Proverbs 18, verse 24, this is what can be said of Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. Notice that last phrase, Proverbs 18, verse 24. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So if you're a Christian, if you've come to Christ, Jesus Christ is a friend that is closer than a brother. Why is that good news? Because brothers, sisters, they're going to fail us. Parents, they'll even fail you. People in this world, they'll fail you. But Jesus Christ is that friend that is closer than a brother. He doesn't fail his sheep. He loves them perfectly, and he's unchanging. Hebrews 13, verse 18, I won't have you turn there, but I'll conclude with this promise. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why he's the unchanging friend. He's always loving. He's always gracious to his children. And I'll conclude with this wonderful hymn of John Newton that speaks of the friendship that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, which of all our friends could save us, could or would have shed their blood, but our Jesus died to have us reconciled in him to God. That's the friend who's closer than a brother. He reconciled you to God, Christian, through his own blood on the cross. And it's to that we give God thanks, and to that we praise him this Christmas season. Praise him for the cradle, but we praise him for the cross as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Savior. We thank you for all that he is and all that he's done. We pray that these truths would stick into our minds and our hearts, Lord. We thank you for each of the children here this evening, Lord, all the work that they've put into memorizing these verses and singing these hymns wonderfully, Lord. We pray that the truths they've memorized would be impressed upon their heart, that they would know of the riches of Christ's grace at this young age. And we pray, Lord, that we who know Christ would be strengthened and that our eyes would be fixed on Christ this Christmas season. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.